Hi, my name is Hernando. I'm one of the pastors here. And as you may tell from my accent, I'm the pastor for the Spanish congregation that is going to be launched soon here. So keep tuned for details on our first service. In this sermon series titled Every Square Inch, we have been looking at the work of God through the world. Last week, we learned about compassion and the missionary calling of the church to go to the ends of the world and be a witness of Jesus to those who do not know him yet. Today, we will be looking at the idea of multiplication in the context of the growth of the church, particularly in Latin America. Reflecting on the church mission in the world is very important because God has given us a present mandate to be a witness of his love and life for salvation to all those who believe, here in Canada and around the world, Acts 1:8. This was mentioned last week by Pastor Raul, that the church exists to worship God, but in order for people to worship God, they need to hear about him. And that is through the preaching of the gospel. Romans 10:14-15 says, how then can they call the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The essence of the gospel and the relationship with God is through believing. And to believe, people need to hear. And in order to hear, someone needs to go and tell them about the good news of Jesus. I have seen the incredible growth of the church around the world firsthand. I remember when I was a kid in my country, Colombia, and the gospel was beginning to break ground. I grew up in this little interesting town near the capital, Bogota, and our church was one of the only two or three evangelical churches in the town. And at the church, we got involved in the project of going house by house and shared with all people in the town about Jesus. And this happened in a period of a few months. I remember going with my dad house by house, telling people about Jesus. We got chased by dogs all the time. We got doors slammed in our faces. But many people came to Christ. And this church grew so rapidly that it helped establish other churches in nearby towns. Pastors and missionary work came out of this little church. So to tell others about Jesus is at the center of why the church exists. And our Bible reading for today is in Acts 2:41-47. And if you have your Bible, you can open it or your Bible in front of your cell phone or follow together. So Acts 2:41-47. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As I share today about Latin America, I want to highlight something that I think becomes very evident when we look at the church around the world. And that is the effectiveness of the gospel. Latin America is a region of the world that has suffered numerous social problems, violence, corruption in the governments, civil wars, instability, poverty, inequality, brokenness in the families, And just half a century ago, Latin America was practically a missions field in its totality. One of the first missions fields of the history of the Christian and Missionary Alliance was in Latin America, opening groundwork as early as 1897 in countries such as Argentina and Chile. And I came across this story that touched my heart and just gave us a sense of how difficult it was to preach the gospel in Latin America just a century ago. And the story says, "Protestants out, down with the Masons, long life the Virgin," shouted the angry mob as they threw stones at Reverend Homero Crisman, the 7 kilometers from Tulcan, this is in Ecuador, to the Colombian border became the corridor for divine grace for the Colombian South. Crossing the Rumichaca Bridge, Reverend Crisman was safe, and after walking another 2 kilometers uphill, carrying his suitcase full of Bibles, New Testament, and tracts, he arrived in Ipiales. And there, he met Teófilo. In the central square, he meets Teófilo Mera, a local photographer, to whom he explains his situation, and he kindly offers him his house to stay. That same night, Teófilo and his wife Raquel ask Reverend Crisman to explain what the Bible teaches, since they wanted to know why that book was considered so dangerous for Catholic priests. Before the end of the week, Teófilo and Raquel had given themselves to Christ and thus became the first believers in the Colombian Christian and Missionary Alliance. By then, it was June 1923. Today, the gospel has grown in Latin America to account for the establishment of large national churches and hundreds of local churches opened by different denominations. They're now sending workers to the least rich places of the world. There is still a lot of work in this part of the world. However, the extraordinary work of God through the world is something to be celebrated, as he has mobilized his church to take the gospel in this continent, which has become fertile soil and where God's love has come to broken hearts, bringing true hope. Craig Bundy, who is part of our church, him and his wife were former international workers in Argentina, and he writes a report on the advancement of the alliance in South America. It says, at the time of this writing, numerous South American countries have now national churches with sufficient strength to continue multiplying without the necessity of outside help. This is in the year 2018. To look at Acts is to look at the first portrayal of what was the church. It shows us what the church was like. Baptisms, teaching, sharing, worship, fellowship, and love for one another. Like a family album, this is the first picture of the church. And a family album can be important because we can learn where we've come from and who we are and what is our purpose. So looking at the global church can also be compared as looking at a family album. Any of you still have a family photo album? Have you inherited one from your family? Any is planning to have one, a printed photo album? Most of us will have thousands of pictures stored on the cloud somewhere. And in the photo albums, you will flip the pages and family faces will begin to appear. Uncles, cousins, people that had died, but all family and friends. If we had a family photo album from the church family, this would be a huge family photo album with thousands of pages. And as we will be flipping the pages, we will find the faces of all people around the world that have trusted in Jesus as their eternal hope. So we will have the pictures of the Canadian church, the Asian, African, Latinos, all people in the world. All our given God ethnicities and races, they will be important, but they will be not so defining, because we will be all represented as the one family of God, as the one church, speaking different languages, different cultures. Yes, they and we, all of us believers, share a familiarity, a resemblance, not physically, but in the faith, as being all washed by the blood of Jesus. The book of Revelation gives us the final picture of all of us, the family album, the final picture, around the throne of God, people from all nations worshiping the Lamb. And it says in Revelation 7, 9 to 1 and 13 to 14, after this is John, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How beautiful. The one thing definitive, the one characteristic that will be critical for all of us standing around the throne of God will be these white robes and being washed by the blood of Jesus. This is our family bond, being washed by the blood of Jesus as the result of trusting in Him for the forgiveness of our sins. We are part of this family, the global church, and together we advance the gospel for the world's salvation and for God's glory. Here in Canada, we can experience the changes in the global church as the nations come to Canada. And we can reach out to them right in our neighborhoods. And we can also hear the gospel being preached by people who have come, Christians, and they now pray for this country. This dynamic has been described as the preaching of the gospel from everywhere to everyone. Ambrose Professor Charles Cook and Ronald Brown explains this. "We recognize that the 21st century world in which we live and serve is radically different from that of previous generations. Today, mission is no longer understood primarily in terms of geographical expansion. But as the Lausanne Covenant reminds us, reaching our world requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, we are witnesses to God's grace manifested to and from Canada as the Global Alliance family engages in mission from everywhere to everyone. Here in Calgary, we can join what God is doing in the Hispanic world. As you may know, we are preparing to launch an Spanish congregation right here at FAC. And according to the Canada Census in 2016, there are almost 500,000 Latinos in Canada. And most of them have come to Canada as many other communities looking for better opportunities, fleeing from war and political instability. Latin American immigration is one of the most recent communities that has arrived in Canada from countries such as Mexico, Colombia, El Salvador, Peru, Chile, Venezuela, Cuba, Guatemala, and others. In Calgary, the 2016 census estimated that there were almost 30,000 Latinos living in the city. And Alberta is at the top of the fastest growing provinces for Latin American population. So even here in Calgary, we have a great opportunity to show God's love for the people that need Jesus. I want us to go back to that last line in Acts 2 and verse 47 that we just read. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church is meant to grow. The early church in Acts experienced exponential growth, and the church today also experiences growth. This is a natural dynamic of the church because God makes it growth. Because the gospel is effective to transform lives. Everything that it touches grows. Every life. We can believe in the church growth and its impact in our lives, in our city, and around the world. And I would like to mention three types of growth that the church experiences. First, numerical growth. One way in which the church grows is in numbers. People who believe in Jesus and are saved join the different congregations around the world. In Acts 2, verse 2 says, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people is not a small number for a preacher in his first sermon, as it was the case of Peter. If you may recall, this is the first sermon for Peter. For Peter, he's preaching to the crowd when in the day of Pentecost, he stood up to explain to those mocking the disciples who had received the Holy Spirit and looked as if they were drunk. In his first sermon, this inexperienced preacher, Peter, led 3,000 people to Christ. What a success! And in his second sermon in Acts 4:4, after the healing of the lame beggar at the temple door, 5,000 people believe, the Bible says. But many who heard the message believe. So the number of men who believe grew to about 5,000. In this case, the scripture refers only to the men. So if we were to make sense of the numbers, adding women and children, we will be talking about triple the numbers. 10,000, 15,000 believe on Jesus on that day. And this continues on and on through the book of Acts. Further, it says in verse 5:14, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. So the women are mentioned in this case. So the church is meant to grow numerically as the result of God's work in people's lives through the gospel preaching. When the church shares about Jesus with others, people will believe. And this is something that we all can do. We all have people around our lives. Maybe for some of them, it might take some more time. But for others, they are ready for you and I to tell them and to invite them to know God. Peter did not have any special skills or training to say that the conversion of the people was the result of a gifted speaker. In fact, the Jewish authorities were amazed by the disciples and the people that believed in their message, because the disciples were ordinary men without any special education, but they had Jesus. They had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What a remarkable statement. They had been with Jesus. That is all it takes. The church grows because Jesus is its head. And because Jesus works in the church for the world's sake. The large crowd's conversion resulted from God's power working through the church as they proclaimed Jesus and the Spirit coming to convince the hearts of people. And this is the same for the church today. People just need to hear the message, and the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit will transform their lives. Yes, we as a church need to be faithful witnesses of Jesus. Yes, we need to continue inviting people to church. Yes, we need to pray for people and be supportive along the way. And yes, we need to trust God and His saving power when we share the love of Jesus with the world. We trust in the gospel for our kids. for grandkids, for family, for friends. One of the people that I remember who said yes to Jesus was my grandfather. So my mom and dad were the first believers in their entire families. And these are very large families. So can I tell you how many siblings they had? So my dad's side, they were 16. Same dad, same mom. And on my mom's side, they were 10. So they were both the first believers in their entire families. And for many years, they were rejected by family and friends because of their faith in Jesus. But they trust in the promise of salvation for their families, that one day they will also come to know Jesus. So they pray and share for years. And one of those who first came to the Lord was my grandfather. Unfortunately, this happened right before he died. He had cancer. And my dad shared with him about Jesus and his love and forgiveness, and he believed. So something special happened. My grandfather invited all his family, his wife and kids. As they were all together, he asked them for forgiveness. And this is a very broken family. My dad will tell me how his dad would come drunk when he was little and would be very violent against his wife, to the point that he will bring a gun and will be pointing against her. So the older brothers will come and get a hold of him and just help him calm down. But there he is, accepting Jesus, recognizing his sins, and changing and calling his wife and his children and asking them for forgiveness. God had changed his heart, and he had liberated his family from hatred. He was ready to meet Jesus. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus today, maybe this will be the time to pray to him yourself. Maybe he has been knocking at the door of your heart. Would you let him in today? Would you let him be your savior too? So second, the church grows in its commitment to God. The book of Acts gives us a picture of the life of the church. It presents what the occupation of the church was. What was their business? What they were all about? And it reads in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And in verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. So there here are the elements that sustain the church's life. The occupation of the church. This is the first picture of the church. So the preaching of the gospel, the baptizing of people, the study and learning of God's word, meeting together to celebrate Jesus, worship him, pray for one another and the world around us. This is what the church is all about, and it has been there since the beginning. All these activities of the church are important because since the beginning, God drew people to those, and we are instructed to follow those. And they are essential because ultimately they draw us to God himself. We get baptized. We learn about the word. We break the bread. We take the cup in the communion. We pray. All these elements and activities of the church draw us closer and closer to God. So the church grows in constant commitment to him. Why will we love people of the world? Why will we love those who live thousands of miles far from us? Why will we love our neighbors? We love them because God has loved us first, and we have experienced his love, and we continue to experience it daily. So the church grows, and the multiplication of the believers is the result of the church commitment to God and his word and the sharing of his love with the world. When my parents gave their life to Jesus, this was about 30 years ago, and it happened after a long time of God working in their lives. The people that shared Jesus with them told them only one thing, for them to grow in their Christian life, and it was go to church. So there they were. They knew very little about the Bible and the church. They had never been to a Christian church, but they had gone through a tremendous process when they came to Jesus. So they believed. My mom almost died. And they start attending to church, and by God's grace, they remain Sunday after Sunday. So I think one of the greatest blessings God worked in my family was commitment to being part of the church. And I mean, after never going to church, none of your parents have gone to church, nobody around you will go to church. Going to church Sunday after Sunday was a big commitment. And they remain in the bad and the good times. So whenever I have the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, I say, go to church. I tell them my best advice that I can give you is go to church 1, 2, 3 months and you will see how God will work in your life. And it's not just to look religious, but start there. This will open to things that God has prepared for you. Your heart will begin to change. You will start feeling different because your faith will grow as a result of hearing God's word and enjoying His presence. So let me ask, what will commitment look like for you today? Prayer, Bible study, fellowship with other believers. These are essential things that God has intended for us to grow closer to Him. And the third, the church also grows in compassion. So Acts presents a beautiful picture of the church and how they grew in love. They grew in number, their commitment with God, but they also grew in their love and caring for one another and their love for those who did not know Jesus yet. And in Acts 2, in verse 44 to 47, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So the church is not only a community of people that grow in numbers, but they grew in love as a family, as the family of faith. And this is a community that is represented not only by our local church, but by the church all over the world. So we can say that we stand with all those who believe everywhere, who have placed their life trust in Jesus as the family of God. We as believers stand in unity with the thousands of people around the world who have received hope in Christ in Latin America and in around the world. This is our family. And Paul says in Galatians 6:10, he calls it the family of the faith. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the church around the world is family. And here in Acts, the church grew not only numerically, but in love and demonstrations of solidarity among each other. The Bible says in Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart. The disciples in Acts stood as God's family. This gathering had a strong sense of familiarity and unity. So what do we see when we look at the nations of the world? Far and near, people miles away and in our neighborhoods. Do we see people that needs to know Jesus? Do we see people as someone God wants to add to those who are saved? How can we express our love and solidarity for the world? From Acts, we can say that sharing Jesus will be the greatest act of love and compassion for the world. And this is meant not only by word, but also, very importantly, in Acts. The goal of sharing Jesus' love with the world motivates all the church's acts of compassion for the world. We love the world so they can see God's love for us through us. There is something very powerful that we can do in compassion for the world that I like to suggest for us today, and it is to pray. We can pray. When we pray, we connect with God's heart for people. When we pray, God responds and guides His church in how we should respond to. So prayer does make an impact. The church work around the world is sustained by prayers. The work of international workers, the compassion, the churches around the world is effectively advanced in great deal because people in churches pray. We may have financial limitations in some places, but we cannot have prayer limitations. We need prayer. The world needs prayer. So today, at the end of the service outside, in the TV world, for instance, you can find information on ways that you can pray for the different projects around the world. And if you'd like to pray for reaching out the Hispanic community here in Calgary and for the Spanish congregation at FAC, I would love to share with you prayer requests. We need to pray. We need your prayer. We're preparing to have our first service in October, and we really need your prayers. If you like, I can share with you prayer requests from the Spanish church. So there will be a table outside too. Acts presents us a picture of the church, which is a picture of growth and multiplication. In quantity, as great numbers were added to those who were saved, and in quality, as the people received the gospel and their lives were transformed. The growth and multiplication of the church expressed not only the vitality and the life-giving message that changes and transforms lives, but it gives the church also a sense of purpose, which exists to reach the world with the blessings of God through the commitment to worshiping Him as the Lord above all. You know, heavens will be a family reunion with people from all places and tongues, all worshiping around the throne and the Lamb. And you know how sometimes family reunions end? Not too good. But in this family reunion, actually, God will wipe out all our tears, your tears, the tears of those who have trusted in Him. Family, church is not something we attend. It's a family we belong to, and it's a family all over the world. Let us pray. So, Father, we pray to You, and we pray for the world that You came to save. Thank You for one day coming to our very lives, our very families, and give us the light and salvation of Your Son, Jesus. We want to pray for the world and for the countries, for the nations far and near here in Calgary and in Canada. And we want to pray, Lord, that they may be free from the bondage of darkness that doesn't allow them to see You. We pray that Jesus will be clear and evident to them. We pray for the church, for all those, the international workers and the different ministries around the world, that You may be with them. And we pray for our church, that we may continue to pray, and we may be a church that loves the word and share Jesus with everyone, everywhere. Amen.